Welcome to Hot Off the Wire, a daily podcast that looks at the top news, business, sports, and entertainment stories as reported by the Associated Press. I'm Terry Lipschitz, managing editor at the National Newsroom at Lee Enterprises and your curator of news. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire through Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss daily news updates. And now the latest headlines.
AP News, I'm Haya Pinjwani. AP's Charles de Ledesma reports the U.S. and Iran have offered sharply different accounts of the sinking of an Iranian warship in the Indian Ocean.
Washington has rejected Tehran's claim that the warship IRIS Dena was unarmed when it was sunk in a submarine attack near Sri Lankan waters last week. Iranian officials say the vessel was operating in a non-combat configuration. The dispute has intensified tensions over the March 4 incident, which occurred as the ship was returning from multinational naval exercises in India. The sinking also highlights how the U.S.-Israeli war with Iran is spreading beyond the Middle East. Sri Lankan's Navy had rescued 32 sailors and recovered 87 bodies, it says. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Iran's new supreme leader could face enormous challenges. AP's John Gambrell.
Mojtaba Khamenei is thought to be more hardline than his father, and he comes into power as Iran's theocracy faces perhaps its greatest challenge yet, this ongoing war that has seen sites across Iran destroyed, as well as Iran's paramilitary Revolutionary Guard, its air force and army targeted and just pounding airstrikes.
New York City police confirm IEDs were used at a weekend protest outside the mayor's residence, ending in arrests. AP's Julie Walker.
Police Commissioner Jessica Tisch.
The devices, which were a bit smaller than a football, appear to be a jar wrapped in black tape.
The bomb squad says they could have caused serious injury. Tisch says the devices were thrown by a mere ballot.
Witnesses reported seeing flames and smoke as it traveled through the air before it struck a barrier and extinguished itself a few feet from police.
The police commissioner says six people are under arrest, including one of Lang's rally participants, Julie Walker, New York.
This is AP News.
A federal judge has ruled that the Trump administration's actions to dismantle the Voice of America are illegal. AP correspondent Mike Hempin.
U.S. District Court Judge Royce Lamberth says Carrie Lake, President Trump's choice to lead the federal agency overseeing Voice of America, did not have the authority under the law to take her actions. His ruling was the result of a lawsuit filed by three journalists laid off by Lake. Lake calls it a bogus ruling by an activist judge and says it will be appealed. The journalists say they feel vindicated. The decision's effect on VOA operations is not clear. Voice of America transmits news coverage to countries around the world. VOA has been operating with a skeleton staff in only a handful of languages. I'm Mike Hempin.
World shares tumbled after oil prices spiked at nearly $120 a barrel.
The rapidly rising oil price is causing stock market prices to fall. The leading index in Germany, the DAX, slumped by more than 2.5% to 22,927 points in the opening minutes early Monday. It briefly reached its lowest level since May 2025, but has somewhat rebounded. Tim Exner, capital markets expert at Storbing AG, tells the AP, investors' fears of a major crash remain. The longer the war continues, the greater the concerns about inflation and growth will naturally become, especially as long as oil prices remain high. Oil prices have risen by around 50% since the outbreak of the war, he says. Crude prices fell back Monday after the Financial Times reported the members of the G7 industrial nations were considering releasing some oil reserves to ease pressure on supplies. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
I'm Haya Pinjwani, AP News.
The Iran war entering its second week with rocket fire continuing in the Middle East. Tehran taking massive hits from U.S.-Israeli-led strikes while launching missiles and drones at targets across the region, with Saudi Arabia reporting its first deaths. President Trump vowing to keep the pressure on and responding to a question about American boots on the ground.
Could there be? Possibly, for very good reason.
Trump was en route from Dover Air Force Base Saturday after attending the dignified transfer of six U.S. soldiers killed in Kuwait.
They're great heroes in our country.
Meanwhile, Iranian Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi telling NBC's Meet the Press, there needs to be a permanent end to the war, not a ceasefire.
Unless we get to that, I think we need to continue fighting for the sake of our people and our security.
President Trump is attending the dignified transfer for the six U.S. soldiers killed in the Middle East at Delaware's Dover Air Force Base.
Very sad situation.
He joins family members and most of his cabinet as the soldiers' remains return to the U.S. They died last week in a drone strike on a command center in Kuwait. Trump spoke earlier Saturday at an event in Florida.
They're great heroes in our country.
He's pledging to keep American war deaths down. At the same time, he said he will keep the pressure on Iran.
When it comes to war, there's always that. But we're going to keep it to a minimum, I think.
The six members of the Army Reserve were all from the 103rd Sustainment Command based in Des Moines, Iowa. Since the start of the Iran war, more than 28,000 stranded Americans have been able to get back to the U.S. from the Middle East, according to the State Department. Heather Birkin from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, is not one of them. She's stuck in Israel.
I made the decision to come here. I certainly didn't feel like there needed to be any commando operations to come in and get me out.
She went 2 weeks ago to visit and run the Tel Aviv Marathon. She says the State Department has been in touch, but they are not getting her out.
I was lucky. I got a flight on Wednesday to fly to Athens.
From Greece, she says she'll get a flight to the U.S. Stranded Americans across the Middle East say they've been left to navigate flight cancellations and confusing government guidance on their own. The State Department says while most self-evacuate, they did organize more than a dozen charter flights that had evacuated several thousand Americans. At an event in Florida with some Latin American leaders, President Trump says now that the U.S. has Venezuela where they want it, Cuba is next after Iran.
Cuba is in its last moments of life as it was. It'll have a great new life.
Trump saying he and Secretary of State Marco Rubio would cut a deal with Cuba.
They want to negotiate, and they are negotiating with Marco and myself and some others. And I would think a deal would be made very easily with Cuba.
The comments came at Trump's Shield of the Americas summit at his Doral Golf Club, where Latin American leaders are banding together to combat violent cartels.
The only way to defeat these enemies is by unleashing the power of our militaries. We have to use our military.
The president encouraging them to take military action against drug trafficking cartels. President Trump on Truth Social posting more Iranian officials will be targets, saying today Iran will be hit very hard, under serious consideration for complete destruction and certain death. Because of Iran's bad behavior, are areas and groups of people that were not considered for targeting up until this moment. Earlier, Iran's president rejecting a call from Trump for unconditional surrender while apologizing to its Gulf neighbors like the UAE. Iranian missiles and drones have been targeting those countries, hitting the airport in Dubai as well as a luxury resort. Meanwhile, Israeli warplanes hammer Beirut and Tehran. The death toll continues to rise Saturday, with more than 1,200 people killed in Iran, more than 200 in Lebanon, around a dozen in Israel, according to officials. So far, since the Iran war began, six U.S. troops were reported killed. I'm Julie Walker.
Norwegian police are looking for suspects and trying to determine a motive following an explosion outside the U.S. Embassy in Oslo. Investigators believe the embassy was targeted. Police received reports of a loud bang early Sunday morning. Investigators say it was caused by an incendiary device. There were no injuries. A U.S. official speaking anonymously says the device was inside a backpack and detonated outside an entrance to the embassy. Local media are reporting that people nearby say the street was blanketed in thick smoke after the blast. The incident has not changed Norway's terror threat level. I'm Mike Hempen.
There are indications Iran is getting help from Russia. Sources tell the AP Russia has provided Iran with information that could help Tehran strike American warships, aircraft, and other assets in the region. The U.S. intelligence has not uncovered that Russia is directing Iran on what to do with that information. White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt was asked about possible Russian involvement.
But it clearly is not making a difference with respect to the military operations in Iran, because we are completely decimating them. Oh, as I said earlier, we've taken out nearly 30 of their ships. Their navy has been deemed combat ineffective.
Asked whether Russia would go beyond political support and offer military assistance to Iran, Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov said there has been no such request from Tehran. Russia has tightened its relationship with Iran as it looked for badly needed missiles and drones to utilize in the four-year war in Ukraine. I'm Ed Donahue.
President Trump convened a summit at the White House with a handful of leaders in college sports, saying he wants to do something about the collegiate athletic system.
Under the current system, educational institutions find themselves in a financial arms race for athletes.
The president says the spiraling costs associated with the onset of name, image, and likeness payments is undermining university finances and endangering women's and Olympic sports.
Our goal is not to go back to the days where student athletes were never allowed to receive any compensation, although not the worst idea, but I think a lot of people would overrule me on that.
Former Alabama football coach Nick Saban says athletes are moving school to school in the pursuit of money, and the true goal of college athletics is being left behind.
They were creating value in life, and we were preparing them for their future past athletics. So what happened?
President Trump suggested an executive order might spark action from Congress or trigger a lawsuit that could put the issue back in front of the court system. I'm Jennifer King.
The Justice Department has published more missing Epstein files involving an uncorroborated claim about President Trump. The department said last week that it was reviewing to determine if any records were improperly withheld after several news organizations reported the massive tranche of records that had been made public didn't include files documenting a series of interviews conducted in 2019 with a woman who made an allegation against Trump. The department said those files had been incorrectly coded as duplicates and were therefore inadvertently not published along with the millions of other Epstein files. Hi up in Juwani, Washington.
Feeling a little tired? That may be because you lost an hour of sleep thanks to daylight saving time over the weekend, where the clock moved ahead an hour Saturday into Sunday. And sleep expert Megan Petrov with Arizona State University says it's not good for us.
What we know is that this shifting back and forth between between standard time and daylight savings time is a detriment to our human health.
Over the last decade, at least 19 states have passed laws to let them stay in daylight saving time if the federal government allows it. Some are giving serious consideration to staying in standard time if their neighbors are willing to make the same move. There's not a clear consensus on what to do when every solution will still leave millions of Americans in the dark later in the morning or earlier in the evening than they would like for a chunk of the year. I'm Julie Walker.
Former Presidents Joe Biden, Barack Obama, and Bill Clinton talked about Jesse Jackson's impact on politics and society. Biden says the civil rights leader always tried to bring people together.
Through decades of service, Jesse's abiding message of unity moved people in the right direction.
Obama says Jackson's two presidential runs opened the doors for him.
Maybe there wasn't any place, any room, where we didn't belong.
Clinton says Jackson had a direct impact on him.
We did not always agree, but I'll tell you one thing. He made me a better president.
Thousands gathered Friday in a church on Chicago's South Side to pay a final public tribute to Jackson, who died last month at the age of 84. I'm Mike Hempen.
I'm Seth Soutell, and this is the AP Markets Report. The price of oil shot to its highest level since 2023 after surging again because of the war with Iran. A weak update on the U.S. job market knocked stocks lower to cap Wall Street's worst week since October. The S&P 500 dropped 1.3% Friday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average plunged by as many as 945 points before finishing with a loss of 453. That's about 0.9%. The Nasdaq Composite sank 1.6%. The combination of a weak economy and high inflation is a worst-case scenario for investors because the Federal Reserve has no good tool to fix both problems at the same time. Seth Soutell, New York.
AP Sports, I'm Gethin Coolball. Jason Tatum scored 20 points in his second game back from a 9-month Achilles injury absence, helping the Celtics top the Cavaliers 109-98.
Today felt a lot more normal, just from a preparation standpoint and mentally.
the other day was such a big deal.
Luka Doncic had 35 points in the Lakers' 110-97 win over the Knicks. Victor Wembanyama's 29 powered the Spurs past the Rockets' 145-120. In golf, Akshay Bhatia rallied from 5 shots down and beat Daniel Berger in a playoff to win the Arnold Palmer Invitational. In NASCAR, Ryan Blaney snapped Tyler Reddick's 3-race win streak with a victory at Phoenix Raceway. NFL, Trent McDuffie and the Rams are closing in on a contract extension that will make him the highest-paid cornerback in NFL history, and the Raiders are acquiring cornerback Taron Johnson in a trade with the Bills. The NFL's free agency period opens Monday with a 52-hour legal tampering period ahead of the official start of the new league year Wednesday. Edge rusher Trey Hendrickson, 6-time Pro Bowl wide receiver Mike Evans, and Super Bowl MVP Kenneth Walker III head the list of high-profile players who will be free to sign a contract with a new team. Quarterbacks Kirk Cousins and Kyler Murray also will be seeking new teams with their impending releases by their former teams. The WNBA sent a collective bargaining agreement proposal to the union a day after the league received one from the players. A person familiar with the negotiations has told the Associated Press. The league's response comes a few days before a Tuesday deadline set by the league, which said it would need at least a handshake agreement with the union to start the season on time. It's unknown what changes the league and union made in their latest proposal. Revenue sharing is the key sticking point between the two sides. Nathan Martin won the Los Angeles Marathon in the final stride, giving the U.S. a second straight men's title. Martin edged Michael Kamau of Kenya at the finish line. They shared the same finishing time of 2 hours, 11 minutes, and 18 seconds. Kamau skipped fluids during the race and collapsed at the finish line. Martin is a substitute teacher and coaches high school track and cross country in Jackson, Michigan. In the women's race, Priska Shirono of Kenya won in 2 hours, 25 minutes, and 20 seconds. The 45-year-old mother of three lives in Colorado. I'm Gethin Coolball.
Formula One appears to have delayed a decision on whether to cancel its races in Bahrain and Saudi Arabia, which have been placed in doubt due to the war in Iran. Both countries have been struck during Iran's response after the U.S. and Israel launched a wave of attacks. Those are the cheers of Formula One fans during the opening of the Australian Grand Prix. But behind closed doors in Melbourne, F1 officials met, and Racing Bull's chief executive Peter Bayer said no decision had been made and there is no deadline in place. Bayer said it's still a month to go, and the Formula One president and chief executive Stefano Domenicali and the FIA are monitoring the situation and will make the right decision. Previous reports say cancelling the events could cost the sport more than $100 million. I'm Rika Ann Garcia.
In Ann Arbor, former Michigan football coach Sharon Moore has accepted a deal, pleading no contest to 2 misdemeanor charges, trespassing and malicious use of a telecom device in a domestic relationship. In exchange, 3 more serious charges, including felony home invasion, were dropped.
All the charges against Mr. Moore were not supported by facts and law.
Ellen Michaels is Moore's attorney.
Mr. Moore is pleased to put this behind him and move forward.
The case stemmed from a confrontation after Moore was terminated. The university said there was credible evidence the Wolverines head coach had engaged in an inappropriate relationship with his executive assistant. Moore was arrested when he confronted the woman in her apartment and she called 911. His sentencing is scheduled for April 14th. I'm Jennifer King.
Washington has rejected Tehran's claim that the warship IRIS Dena was unarmed when it was sunk in a submarine attack near Sri Lankan waters last week. Iranian officials say the vessel was operating in a non-combat configuration. The dispute has intensified tensions over the March 4 incident, which occurred as the ship was returning from multinational naval exercises in India. The sinking also highlights how the U.S.-Israeli war with Iran is spreading beyond the Middle East. Sri Lankan's navy had rescued 32 sailors and recovered 87 bodies, it says. The investigative group Bellingcat says newly released video appears to contradict President Donald Trump's claim that Iran was responsible for an explosion at an Iranian school that killed over 165 people. The material shared by Bellingcat is a 3-second clip of a video on the day the school was struck, circulated on Sunday by Iran's semi-official Mayer news agency. The video shows ammunition falling on a building. A Bellingcat researcher identified the ammunition as a Tomahawk cruise missile, which only the US is known to possess in this war. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Britain's Chief of Defence Air Chief Marshal Sir Richard Knighton reject criticism that they were ill-prepared for the conflict in Iran.
Well, what the Prime Minister and the Defence Secretary have made clear, and what's very clear to me, is that this is probably the most dangerous time of the last 30-odd years that I've been in uniform. And it's very clear that the demands on defence are rising. And that's why I think the Prime Minister said in his Munich Security Conference speech that we need to spend more on defence and do it faster. And you won't be surprised that I agree wholeheartedly with what the Prime Minister said.
Sir Richard said that the demands on defence are rising and dismissed suggestions that years of cuts slowed down the UK's response after Israel and the US launched strikes last week. HMS Dragon, an air defence destroyer being ready to leave for the Eastern Mediterranean after a drone hit a UK base in Cyprus, will depart in the next few days. He also said that the UK could join more proactive strikes in the future, while the focus remains on protecting British interests and personnel. A Russian missile hit a five-story residential building in Ukraine that left around 10 people dead, among them are children, and 16 others were wounded. The attack happened in Kharkiv, Ukraine's second-largest city. The head of the Kharkiv Regional Military Administration spoke about the aftermath. According to our information, there could have been 14 people under the rubble. Our units have already retrieved five bodies. Among them, unfortunately, is a girl of 13 and younger. Our data is still being fully established now. Information has just come in that they see another body. That is the sixth body. President Volodymyr Zelensky condemned the attack and called for an international response, saying Russia struck Ukraine overnight, targeting energy facilities in Kyiv and other regions. Zelensky said support must continue to protect Ukraine's people as Russia continues attacks on residential and critical infrastructure. Heavy rains in Kenya's capital left around 23 people dead, stranded motorists, and disrupted flights. Rescue workers were seen removing bodies from wrecked vehicles in Nairobi, while the military was deployed to assist emergency services. The local toll road operator waived fees for an elevated road. Nairobi Police Chief George Seda said some people drowned and others were electrocuted, warning the death toll may rise as search and rescue operations continue. Kenya Airways said flights were disrupted, with some diverted to Mombasa, and delays expected for hours. Residents blamed clogged drainage systems, while Public Service Minister Jeffrey Ruku said he is coordinating disaster preparedness and urged Kenyans to prioritize their safety. Israeli Defense Minister Israel Katz warned Lebanon's President Joseph Aoun that if the Lebanese government does not stop Hezbollah fire, Lebanon will pay the full price. Therefore, if you do not enforce, and if the choice is between protecting our citizens and the safety of our soldiers or the state of Lebanon, we will choose to protect our citizens and our soldiers, and the government of Lebanon and Lebanon will pay a very heavy price. The latest wave of Israeli airstrikes hit targets in Lebanon's eastern region. The Lebanese health ministry said overnight airstrikes killed at least 16 people and wounded 35. This happened as Israeli special forces conducted an operation deep inside Lebanon to gather information about Israeli navigator Ron Arad, who's been missing for nearly 40 years. According to Lebanon state media, Israeli forces landed in the eastern town of Nabichit and were intercepted by members of Hezbollah, triggering a gunfight. The military said no evidence was found related to the missing pilot. Pope Leo XIV has named a veteran Vatican diplomat as his new ambassador to the U.S., managing one of the Holy See's most important bilateral relationships at a crucial time. Italian Archbishop Gabriel Caxia is currently the Holy See's ambassador to the UN in New York. He replaces Cardinal Christophe Pierre, who at age 80 is retiring as Apostolic Nuncio in Washington. Caxia served as the Holy See's ambassador to Lebanon and the Philippines, before being posted to the UN in 2019. He inherits a complicated and consequential dossier at a time of global turmoil, with ties strained over the Trump administration's war in Iran and immigration crackdown. Caxia said he receives the mission with both joy and a sense of trepidation, calling it a mission at the service of communion and peace. I'm Rika Ann Garcia.
I'm Terry Lipschitz, thanking you for listening.
Audio provided by the Associated Press. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an episode.